So I want to welcome everyone. We've got a solid dozen or so now and growing every few seconds. Welcome to our August 2015 Peace Alliance Action Team Call, or Action Call. I'm Dan Kahn, as most of you know, National Field Director, and I'm very glad to have you all here with us. For anyone joining for the first time, a very warm welcome to you. Very soon, I'm going to turn the mic over to our President, Bob Baskin, and he'll introduce our special guest speaker, who's Warda Khalid, from the Friends Committee on National Legislation. And after Warda speaks, and she has joined us now, she's with us, she will stay on for some question and answer and discussion, and that'll take us through the first 30 minutes or so of the call. And then we'll share a few announcements, hear some grassroots victories from the field, and finally have coaching on August's monthly action. This call will run approximately 65 minutes, and we are so glad to have you all with us. I am now more than happy to introduce a man who eats, sleeps, and breathes the Peace Alliance. This is a man whose every other thought is about how to better serve our members and the cause of peace building, and who makes sure our bills get paid on time and the lights stay on. And so now, with no further ado, the president of our organization, Mr. Bob Baskin.
Hey, you talking to me, huh? Okay, I guess you are. So anyway, I want to welcome everyone, and I certainly want to welcome Warda Khalid, our guest speaker. You know, I just got back from a two-week vacation in Europe with my family. I know, poor me. But I came back with several impressions that are very meaningful to me. You know, we were fortunate to have visited the Anne Frank House in Amsterdam, and it was certainly amazing, but also extremely impactful. There, in Anne Frank's house, we found lots of signs of tragedy and injustice, and of course, the surrounding violence going on all outside their house. But the hope and optimism of this young girl, as described in her diaries until August 4th, 1944, when she and her family were betrayed and arrested, was absolutely unbelievable. We went on to Auschwitz, where clearly, unlike the Anne Frank house, there was no hope, just violence and death. It's very hard to describe, I must admit. But finally, we went on to The Hague in Holland, and there, we actually toured a facility called the Peace Palace. Really, the Peace Palace. It was founded in 1913, about a month before the outbreak of World War I. And it has survived two world wars, and it houses two international courts that I'm sure many of you hear about in one fashion or another that work to deal with injustice and violence and crimes against humanity. Look, admittedly, it can only deal with a very small percentage of the cases. We know that. But it has persisted and it has prevailed in its uphill battle to deal with conflict and violence and injustice. It certainly has inspired me, and it reminds me of the kind of people on this call and the ones who work in our action teams, Warda. Like action team leader Kim Schwarzkopf, who's from Seattle. She represents, and is typical of our volunteers, frankly, she represents the same kind of commitment and perseverance that we observed at The Hague. She's not only been meeting regularly over the last 18 months with aides to her senators and congressperson to promote domestic and international peacebuilding practices, she actually was so inspired and motivated that she created her own local mentoring program. And that program connects underserved youth with creative career pathways to brighter futures and offers hope. And she and her Seattle teammate, Susie Tennant, have just completed their second successful summer of this Across the Bridge program. Now that's commitment and perseverance. Now, Warda, let me introduce you to our group. Warda is a Scoville Fellow at the Friends Committee on National Legislation Education Fund, FCNL is one of our closest and most respected and valued allies, if you will. Where WARDA focuses on research and development and nonviolent policy solutions to counter the self-described Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. As well, she's highlighted why U.S. militarism is undermining locally led peace-building approaches in these countries and actually throughout the region. At FCNL, she's worked on issues such as Israeli military detention and abuse of Palestinian children, the Iran nuclear diplomacy, and finding non-military alternatives to ISIS. Her writing has been recognized and published in Salon and U.S. News and World Report and the Baltimore Sun and the Huffington Post. WARDA recently graduated from Columbia University, where she obtained a master's in international affairs focused on human rights and Middle East studies. WARDA, we are very honored to have you. Please tell our folks more about what you do and the work with which you have been involved.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. It's great to be on this call this afternoon with you guys, and thank you so much for that introduction. Yes, I work in Middle East policy at the Friends Committee, and recently our big push has been on Iran, the Iran deal, and so that's what I'm here to talk to you guys about. So what I'm going to do is give you a little breakdown on the Iran deal itself and then ways that you guys can get involved in supporting that, and then happy to take any questions you might have. And the reason we're focusing so much on the Iran deal right now is because this is a breakthrough in U.S. diplomatic history. This is a chance for us to allow diplomacy to work and not take the same path that we took in Iraq of immediate war without knowing all the facts. So this is a really interesting time, and it's great that you all want to be involved in that, and your participation is crucial. So just to go over the deal a little bit, so there's 4 points that I want to make on that. The first is that the deal dramatically shrinks Iran's nuclear program. So nuclear proliferation is a big issue around the world. People are always concerned about who's getting more nuclear weapons. Iran being in the Middle East in such a volatile region is a concern. If it has nuclear weapons, could that start an arms race? So the great thing about this deal is that it dramatically shrinks Iran's nuclear program. And it is doing this by retiring most of its centrifuges, shipping out most of its uranium stockpile, and reducing how highly it enriches uranium. They're also converting their plutonium reactor to operate extensively for research. And in doing all this, it decreases the breakout time to develop the fuel for a nuclear weapon from 2 to 3 months to a year or more. So if we don't have this deal, they could be 2 to 3 months away from having a nuclear bomb or the ability to create a nuclear weapon, and this greatly, greatly increases that time. Number two is that inspectors are going to have the access they need. So they're going to have 24/7 access to Iran's nuclear facilities. Iran also has to grant inspectors access to other suspicious sites within a maximum of 24 days. And some people have said, oh, that means in 24 days, if they have a maximum of 24 days, they could go and hide nuclear material. But that's not possible. Nuclear material can't be destroyed easily. It takes millions of years, hundreds of thousands of years to destroy nuclear material. You can't just flush it down a toilet, as people say. So, the 24 days is kind of arbitrary here. And when they have that access, inspectors can detect nuclear material. And if Iran blocks access, then the U.S. and the European Union can easily snap back the sanctions into place that they currently have on Iran right now and that they are lifting as a condition of this deal. Number three is that there's a misconception that the deal is only about Iran's nuclear program, when in fact having this deal opens up doors to diplomacy, and the U.S. and others can begin using this leverage to address other issues like Iran's human rights abuses, perhaps Iran's strategic role Iran plays in some of the Middle East conflicts in Iraq and in Syria. In Yemen. So the deal also keeps sanctions in place against Iranian support for terrorism. So this stuff is not going to go away. It will only put us in a better position to deal with these issues by having this deal with with Iran starting with its nuclear program. And if we reject it, it'll only make it harder to negotiate on things like the military security, arms trade, arms embargoes, trade, and things like that. And finally, number four is that, unfortunately, Congress can jeopardize all of this progress that we've made so far. If Congress decides to reject the deal, it would also block the new inspections, restrictions, and verifications that we're obtaining through this deal. So, as I mentioned, we would go back to having them only 2 to 3 months away from being able to create a nuclear weapon, whereas if we do this, we make it a lot harder for them to do so, and isn't that the ultimate goal, is to prevent them from having a nuclear weapon? So without a deal, Iran would have little incentive to scale back on their nuclear program, and then it would increase the risk that the U.S. and Israel would eventually attack their nuclear program, and it could lead to a full-fledged war, which is the last thing that we want. So it's so, so key that Congress backs this deal. So as far as timeline goes, right now Congress is in recess. But starting in September, they're going to come back after Labor Day, I believe, and begin debating on this and voting on this. So right now is the time for you all to get involved and reach out to your Congress members, to your senators, to your representatives, call their offices in district and in D.C., wherever you are, and urge them to support this deal. So just call them. You can dial the Capitol switchboard. We have a number here. It's 855-686-6927. And you can ask to be connected to your senator's office. And all you have to say is, you know, my name is so-and-so. I'm a constituent from this city and the state. Please support the nuclear deal with Iran. The agreement sets up an extensive inspections plan. And without it, the restrictions on their nuclear program will go away. And it's better than any of our other options. It's the best way to prevent a nuclear-armed Iran. It's as simple as that. You can also send an email and with the same points to your member of Congress. You can also work with the media. We're encouraging people to write letters to the editor. We're encouraging them to post comments on the newspaper's websites in response to articles. Make it known not only among your own circles, but also within your community circles, that this is such an important issue that you should be involved in, and you should be urging Congress to support it because it is so key for our nation's national security. And finally, make a visit. Drop by for a lobby visit. Face-to-face visits are one of the best ways to get involved if you can, if you're doing it, whether it's in D.C. or in district. It's great for somebody to drop by and put a name to the face. And even if you know that your representative is completely against this deal, you should still stop by and do it because they should know that there are people in their district who support this deal. We don't only want people who have a representative that seems like they'll support it only go to them. No, everybody should be going because they do track these numbers of how many people come in and what their views are on it. So definitely every voice counts, even if it seems like your representative is not going to be on board. For instance, Senator Schumer just announced that he disapproved of the deal, and he's been receiving a ton of pushback from people that could, you know, perhaps jeopardize his Democratic leadership in the Senate, which he seemed to be going towards. So, you know, right now is a time to say something because it could greatly influence how somebody acts later on. And, you know, of course, you can visit our website for more information on the background on the Iran deal. You can go to fcnl.org/Iran and fcnl.org/Iran facts. And this is going to provide more information on kind of what I briefed you on just now. And you can learn there. You can see sample call scripts and sample emails that you can send. You can find out who your representative is, and it makes it easy. So I'm happy now to take any questions that you all might have on the deal or getting involved in advocacy efforts. But right now, this is what's priority for us here at FCNL, and so I'm so glad that I could speak to you all about it and kind of share our work. So happy at this point to take any questions.
Yeah, Warda, this is Bob Baskin. Thank you for that talk. But Dan, before we open it up, I just have one thing. First of all, Warda, you should know that the Peace Alliance is already on record as being in favor of the deal, that we have stated clearly that we believe that this deal should be approved and should move forward. But my question is, one argument that some of the opponents to the deal have made is that, well, we can, you know, get a better deal, and we really need to keep the pressure on by keeping up the sanctions and so on. But isn't it true that with the recent UN vote to remove the UN sanctions, that the ability to really keep, you know, pressuring sanctions on Iran really has passed us? Without the UN sanctions, it seems to me difficult to think that just our sanctions alone are going to be sufficient. What made the sanctions so effective, in my opinion, is that we had, you know, these other countries who were joining us in this. But now without the UN sanctions, doesn't that weaken that argument against the deal?
You're absolutely right. You know, the sanctions, they were a multilateral effort, and that's why they were working. But now, as we've seen, you know, especially Europe, Europeans are very eager to start doing trade deals with Iran. Other countries are very eager to begin relationships with Iran. And so you're right, with the UN lifting them, it definitely weakens the argument that there is a better deal out there. The fact is, there is no better deal out there. When we talk about it here in D.C., we refer to that as a unicorn deal. It doesn't exist. People can always say, oh, you know, we should wait more. We should put more pressure on them. We should make them completely buckle. But it's not going to happen. Iran has not completely weakened us as one would expect them to, or what these people would expect them to do. Iran is playing a very key role right now in the Middle East, in Syria, in Iraq, in Libya, in Yemen, and like, and for people to say that, you know, putting more sanctions and more pressure on them is going to do, you know, bring them to bring us a better deal is simply not true. And the international community recognizes that. So the fact that the UN did that, the fact that other countries are already having meetings in Iran about trade negotiations and things like that, it shows that, you know, the U.S. is either going to get on board and accomplish something and move forward through this deal, or they're going to stay behind and keep on talking about what could have happened, what should have happened, while the rest of the world moves on without them, and this could lead to perhaps dangerous consequences. So, absolutely, yeah, that definitely weakens their argument for a better deal.
Thank you. You're on, Dan.
Okay, great, thanks. So, anyone who has a question for Warda Khalid, feel free to press 1 on your telephone keypad. That's the equivalent of raising your hand, and I will recognize some questions. So go ahead and press 1 on your keypad. If you've got a question, I see a few hands coming up. That's great. Let's start with Nancy Montier over in the Bay Area of California. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hi, thank you. Warda, I think you said that this would postpone nuclear weapon development for a year, and that seems like a short time, or maybe I misheard you. Could you explain that? Thank you.
Hi, sure. Thank you for your question. Yes, I did say that it would decrease their breakout time in order to develop the fuel for a nuclear weapon to a year or more. So it doesn't mean that they would have a nuclear weapon within a year. It would just mean that they would be able to develop the fuel for it in a year or more. Now, granted, right now, that number is at 2 to 3 months. So the fact is, ideally, they're not going to cheat, and they're not going to be able to even begin on this process, because we are going to verify. One thing that we say is that this deal is based on verification, not trust. So we will be verifying through inspections that they're not going to be even developing this fuel for nuclear weapons. So this amount that I was telling you is worst case scenario. Say for some reason they wanted to decide to back off if a deal doesn't go through, and the U.S. walks away from the table or whatever happens, then yeah, they would be in a year or more, they would be able to create fuel for a nuclear weapon. However, I think that just shows the importance of having a deal. First of all, having a deal would dramatically increase that time, not to mention the fact that we would hope that it would completely end that time altogether. We don't want them to be creating a nuclear weapon, and under this deal, they would not be able to, because we will have vigilant inspection.
Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Great. So I see another question from the same region. That's okay. Nancy Merritt, want to go ahead?
Yeah. Well, thank you for your talk and your points. Do you have, I know I know we need to focus on everybody, but do you have sort of a focus group of senators or congresspeople that we really especially need to focus on?
Yes, we do have a swing list at SNL. We're working on it. If you go to the Washington Post and the Hill, they both have swing lists on their websites, and they're tracking where different senators and congressmen stand on the deal. I would say that go target people who are undecided at this point, which is a lot of people. They're the ones that could tip the scale when it comes to the initial vote as well as the presidential veto override. So definitely check out those lists. If you go to our website, I think we have links to that on the fcnl.org/Iran facts. I think we have it on there, or fcnl.org/Iran. But if you just search Washington Post swing list or Iran or The Hill swing list Iran, it'll come up. And, yeah, those are definitely the key people to target. But, again, as I said earlier, if you have a representative, make sure your voice is known, whether or not, whether they are supporting or they have already said they're opposing the deal, because every voice matters.
Great. Thank you for that, Nancy. I see a question in the L.A. area. Terry Mason, is that you?
Yes. Thank you. And thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate your talk. I'm interested if you have any kind of response or talking point for one objection I've heard on television programs, that this agreement will allow Iran to develop nuclear weapons in a 10-year time frame. I've heard that said. I don't know what that's about. I wonder if you have any response to that objection to this agreement.
Yes. So that point comes up when people will say, well, these restrictions are only in for 10 years, and then after that they can do whatever they want. That's not true. Iran is still subject to IAEA, which is the International Atomic Agency inspections. They are still part of the NPT, the Nuclear Proliferation Treaty, and so they're not going to be able to do that after 10 years. This deal, the 10 years time, is just regarding specific inspections and things like that, but, this is not something that's just going to end after 10 years. Iran is subject to international protocol and treaties that are going to prevent it, indefinitely from trying to do that, so... That argument that this is going to end after 10 years is not valid at all.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And coming back to the East Coast, I see Sally Kimberly in Gainesville, Florida.
Yes, thank you. I'm just wondering if you're aware of why Chuck Schumer is against the deal.
Sorry, would you repeat that?
Hello? Are you there?
Yes, I said. So would you mind repeating that?
I wonder if you're aware of why Senator Schumer is against the deal.
Oh, why he's against the deal. I read his article, or part of his article, that he was stating, and a lot of what he was saying was simply what other people, the opposing side, is arguments that it's not a good enough deal, there could be a better deal, and I think the fact of the matter is that he's under a lot of pressure by certain interest groups. The opposition has spent millions and millions of dollars in order to try to get Congress to oppose this deal. So I believe that he buckled to pressure in that sense. I don't think it was a very good move for him given his political ambition. So I think it was mostly political rather than technical opposition to aspects of this deal.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. I love that we have a lot of hands raised, and I appreciate there's so much interest, and we'll see if we can get to most folks, maybe everybody. Josh Roebuck?
I think you can pass on me. I think my question was answered.
Okay. Thanks, Josh. Let's see. Gia Ibarra?
Hi, thank you. I appreciate your talk. I do have a quick question, and that is regarding the funding that Iran will be receiving as part of the deal. There seems to be a lot of concern that that money will be used to further fund terrorism or terrorism groups. So my question is, who is going to monitor that that doesn't happen? Or who is currently monitoring Iran's
great
use
question.
Of, yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. That was a great question. So for the funding, I think, first of all, it's not funding that they're receiving. They're receiving their own money that was financially frozen, so frozen assets that were, you know, they were stopped from being able to access them due to international sanctions. This money is coming back, and they're just going to have access to it. So it's not, first of all, we're not funding them. Second of all, this money still cannot be used for terrorist activity because the sanctions that are in place against Iranian support for terrorism, which the international community is monitoring, whether it's their banking systems or what have you, those are still going to remain in place. This deal is only about their nuclear program. So it's a very big stretch, if not a lie, for people to go around saying that they're going to be receiving funding and that funding is going to go straight to terrorism. That's a huge scare tactic that has no basis in the deal whatsoever, and it seems like whoever's saying that doesn't understand how sanctions work. So that's what I would say, is that you wouldn't have to worry about it. That's not a concern.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Hey, maybe you have time for one more. Is that okay, Warda?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, great. How about Lynn?
Hey, hello, everyone. Thanks for all that you're doing. I just wondered, how can we better organize the 99% and have all the military worldwide stand down and go green to work really on the real war is climate change, and to let people know that if we, as the people, the 99% with the peace groups, healing groups, you know, wanting all these new projects and school systems and all the new systems to be put in place for the new civilization, that if we don't get our focus changed off the wars, going to go green, that we're in for robotic warfare, and it is no joke. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your question. I'm not a climate change expert, but you can definitely visit our website. FCNL has a lot of, we work extensively on climate change. So if you go to our website and you want to look that up of how you can get involved and how to motivate the 99%, you can definitely find information on there.
Great. Thanks. I think we actually do have time for one more.
Okay.
Geraldine Stapleton, want to go ahead?
Oh, hi, finally. My phone is giving me nothing but trouble. I had to come outside and call back and again and again and again. Anyway, this is Geraldine out in California. And first of all, I want you to know that I support the position that we have taken. I do have one thing for you, because I do have Iranian friends, and a lot of them are associated with MEK and Marianne Rezaei. I'm not going to pronounce her last name correctly, their leader, who is based in France. I know that because they have relatives in Iran, that they receive a lot of information that our Congress members are not, and in general, public is not. And I know that they think that the deal is a little careful of taking their position. Do you have any information in regards to what their fears are about the deal?
Would you mean, am I repeating the last part of your question? It cut off.
I was wondering if you had any information in terms of why people that have relatives that live inside Iran and that are in contact with them would have taken a position that feels that the deal is not substantial and would not be a benefit. So I was just wondering if you had any information on why they would take that position.
Sure. So we work with a lot of Iranian Americans, the National Iranian American Council, on our coalition that we use to support our deal, to support the deal and to mobilize support. So, you know, they are in contact with Iranian-Americans, I mean, Iranians there, and there is popular support for the deal. But you were right in that there are some hardliners against the deal. And again, once again, I think it is very political because President Rouhani, it was part of his campaign platform to have this deal go through. So he has a lot of stakes on it, whereas the hardliners, of course, you know, they're going to take the opposing view. So I think that it's very political, but, you know, I think the masses in Iran, the regular everyday people, feel that this deal is a very good thing. It could lead to more stability in the Middle East and alleviation of human rights abuses that Iran is committing. And so I think if you take out the political component of it, you'll find that there is popular support for the deal among Iranians as well.
Well, that's great to hear. Thank you.
Sure.
Great. Thank you so much for being with us, Warda. I'm going to pass the mic over back to Bob for sort of a final thanks and farewell. We really appreciate you being with us.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Well, I want to just pile on to what Dan just said. This was an absolutely informative and articulate talk that you gave us and lesson that you gave us. And the questions obviously are on people's minds as it should be, because this is such an important, critical time, as you have pointed out. And we are just very, very appreciative, and we want you to know that we are committed to working alongside with you, and we have some 60,000 folks in our network that are supportive of us in one way or another and with whom we communicate frequently, and we are going to try to get as many of them as active as we possibly can. But you're speaking to the real core here of workers who are out there every day doing the cause of peace building. And thank
you. Well, I'm so happy to hear that, and you know, keep up the great work that you guys are doing, and definitely reach out if FCNL can help you all in any way whatsoever. And, you know, please go out there and make those visits, call, interact with Congress, call them, email them. And thank you so much for the opportunity to speak with you all, and I look forward to working with you in the future. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks. Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, so next up, we are going to be hearing some announcements, and we're going to hear about some grassroots victories, and then we're going to have some coaching on the monthly action, which is directly related to what we were just talking about. So you all, of course, are more than welcome to stay with us for the rest of the call. I know there are some new folks that are new with us, and you know, everyone is welcome, whatever your schedule permits. We'd love to have you with us. As Ms. Khalid said, we're at the point of a breakthrough in U.S. diplomatic history, and your participation is crucial. So thanks for being here, and glad to be working with you. In about 10 minutes, we'll be looking at the August action sheet. So if you haven't already looked at it and you have easy computer access, please go ahead to the monthly action page on our website. From the home page, it's that red monthly action ribbon on the right, and on the monthly action page, you can download the action sheet for August. On the front part of the action sheet is some basic guidelines on taking the action, and the second page, or the back, if you print it out front and back, is some great background, some sources talking about the kind of thing that Ms. Khalid was just sharing with us, some really high-level ambassadors and generals and members of the cabinet or former cabinet members that share some really useful information about this deal and why this deal is so important. So please take advantage of that action sheet. In terms of announcements, first thing I want to mention is that I have a trip coming up, a field organizing trip later in August, starting August 19th, just to let you all know, starting and reinforcing existing action teams. And I'll be going to Dayton and Springfield, Ohio, Kalamazoo, Michigan, Chicago, Aurora, and Crete, Illinois, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Houston, Texas. And finally, we're working out the final details for San Diego and San Bernardino, California. And the new, brand new teams that hopefully will emerge from that trip would be Dayton, Kalamazoo, Chicago, Sioux Falls, and Houston. So a lot of exciting stuff, and that's for this trip. And the next trip would likely be about 4 months after that, So if I didn't just mention your town and you want to talk with me about starting or reinforcing your team, let's be in touch. Now I'd like to hand it over to Lori, who's going to talk about a few other things.
Thanks, Dan. The next section is on stats, and the following numbers represent our actions. They represent steps toward raising public awareness, strengthening cooperation, and creating political will for a sea change in the availability of peace-building tools. Every published letter to the editor represents thousands or tens of thousands of people who read and learned about practical solutions to reduce violence, transform conflict, and enhance cooperation. Every meeting with congressional staff represents a policymaker who is better informed about positive, practical methods to build peace. So far this past month, we had an additional letter to the editor published. We did not have any op-eds, editorials, or radio interviews, but we did have 3 sit-down meetings with members of Congress or their staff, 2 tabling events. No coalition building meetings or presentations this month that were reported. That brings our total this year to 7 letters to the editor published, 5 op-eds, 1 editorial, 1 radio interview, 7 sit-down meetings with members of Congress or their staff, 6 tabling events, 18 coalition building meetings, and 5 presentations. These statistics are gathered from our reporting tools on the website. If you've met with a member of Congress or their staff or got some earned media or made some significant community contacts that we're not aware of, please let me know or Dan know, Lori at peacealliance.org and Dan at peacealliance.org. I've been reaching out to team leaders to verify that we have accurately reported what you've been doing, but I'm using those online tools, and if you go to the website, they're under the Tools and Education tab, and I believe it's the second one down, Organizing and Action Quick Reference. And they're near the bottom of the page, there are 3 different links for reporting the various activities. And if you need any help with that, please feel free to reach out to me, and I'd be happy to walk you through it. And the next thing I wanted to remind you of is the upcoming national conference. This is always very exciting for me to be able to announce this. One of the most exciting and fun things I've done with the Peace Alliance over the years is attend the national conference. This year it's going to be October 16th through 20th, and I really hope you'll consider joining us. The speakers are inspiring, and the training is invaluable, and walking the halls of Congress together and visiting our members of Congress is so powerful. I just can't overstate how much you'll enjoy it. If there's any reason or stumbling block to you going that we can help with, please reach out to us, and we'll see if we can make those hurdles go away and help you get there. So without further ado, next we'll go on to our grassroots victories. And this month we are blessed to have 3 victories. All 3 of these involve meetings with members of Congress. Because we have 3, I've asked them to be especially brief, but I want you to know that that doesn't make these victories any less powerful. And first up, we have Mitzi Benno. She's from our fabulous Aurora, Illinois Action Team. Mitzi, are you there?
I am. I was invited to tell.
Go ahead.
I was invited to tell the story of how I got my congressman to co-sponsor the YPA, but it really was the Aurora team, who did it together. Another group I'm also involved with was already going to deliver 250 letters from the letter-writing campaign for Bread for the World to Congressman Bill Foster's office, and I realized I could describe the YPA at the end of that appointment, benefiting both Bill Foster's staff and myself with only 1 meeting. So I asked for and received permission to do so from the other 3 women who were going, and educated them on the YPA on the hour drive to Bill Foster's office. By the time we reached the office, all 3 had agreed that they too could support the YPA when I presented it. At the meeting's end, I briefly described the YPA and gave out 2 hard copy sheets of information from the Peace Alliance website. I left on vacation, and when I returned, I sent an email to the congressional aide reminding her of our meeting and providing her links to the Peace Alliance website pages having to do with the YPA. In addition to the ones I've provided, I gave references that answered a specific question she'd asked on the cost per bed for incarcerated youth in Illinois. In the meantime, Reverend Cindy Robinson Gavin, her letter to the editor had been published in a local paper and Tribune, and so I included that link and the fact that she and Reverend D. Laws Clark and others from Aurora were supportive of the YPA. The aide then sent me an email thanking me for the information, indicated that she would be forwarding it to their legislative team to aid their research on the YPA. Less than a week later and less than a month from our meeting, the aide sent me another email saying that Bill Foster would be a co-sponsor of YPA and asking me to keep in touch. I sent a thank you email that day and celebrated with the team. Woohoo! Real change. Of course, I never was so surprised or thoroughly elated to hear and share the news, but there was some even greater, almost sacred feeling because of the relationship that the aide and I formed and the respect that we carried for one another. I was able to effect real change. More than checking a box for a task performed, my voice was heard. Now I have a conduit to the legislative process and a new colleague. Thanks.
Thank you, Missy. Oh, my gosh, that story is so fantastic. I just get goosebumps listening to you. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing your story. So next up, we're going to hear from Nancy Montier from our amazing team in East Bay, California. Nancy, are you there?
I am. Thank you, Lori. I'm delighted to share this story, and it is a wee story. In June, I wrote a monthly action letter to Mr. Swalwell, Eric Swalwell, in my district. And in July, again, prompted by the monthly action, I called and emailed a request for a meeting. So the day I sent that email, his office called me to schedule a meeting. But that since he was going on a Foreign Relations Committee trip in August, it would have to be by phone, a 20-minute meeting by phone. So I got really organized. And I was really like, oh, my gosh, this is amazing, given his limited time that he wanted to hear about this. So our local action team got together on the phone to talk about strategy. And I also invited some friends in his district, since his contact said he really, really wanted to hear from constituents and not lobbyists. I think he was afraid we were a lobby. And I said, okay, we'll get some constituents, even though we're all next door to his, everybody in our team is next door to his district. So I really enjoyed coordinating and planning it, and I talked to my son and friends, lots of people about the YPA in the process of inviting people. So on the call, we had our East Bay Action Team, Oakland Action Team, and one guest. There were six people, and we let him talk a little bit about how, as a district attorney, how he was affected by this school-to-prison pipeline issue. And then we shared our passion for it and what it's about, and Nancy Merritt tied it into the Department of Peacebuilding as well. So we slipped that in. So the call went really well, and then we asked him for his questions and thoughts, and he said he wanted more info about the Department of Peacebuilding, which was really encouraging, and that he would co-sponsor the YPA. So I was, like, very excited. This was my first result as a peacebuilding activist, and I was delighted to have my team and also the entire organization and all the materials that was provided. So, woohoo! That's it.
Great work. Great teamwork and just taking it step by step and right off the bat, success. Thank you so much, Nancy. And next we're going to go to Florida over on the East Coast and hear from Sally Kimberly from the ever-incredible Gainesville, Florida team. Sally, are you out there?
Yeah, I'm here. I need to tell you that I will have to leave before the call is over because I have another meeting to go to. But, yes, Cheryl Kaplan, Rada Sylvester, and I decided to ask our senators to co-sponsor the Youth Promise Act and to visit their offices. So Cheryl made the appointment,
And in July, we drove to Jacksonville and visited, first of all, Senator Rubio, who, as all of you know, is a Republican, but also very interested in decreasing the prison pipeline. And it's a very bipartisan issue. And since he's running for president, we knew that there was no hope of seeing him. But we did meet with his staff, and they were very gracious and seemed very interested in what we had to say and were kind of impressed that we drove to Jacksonville from Gainesville. They assured me that they would pass this message along to Senator Rubio. And then we went over to Senator Nelson's office, who is a Democrat. He also was not in his regional office at that time, but his staff also was wonderful and very gracious and interested in what was happening in Gainesville, as well as being very supportive of this bill. We found out while we were there that the regional office for Gainesville is really located in Orlando, but they still said that they would be supportive of us and would relay the message to Senator Nelson, and the we will probably have to schedule another visit to Orlando, which is not a big problem. So this week, Rada and Cheryl got together. Cheryl had surgery this week or last week, and to write letters of follow-up, and we also left them each packets of information. So we felt really good about the visit. Had a good time. Are you all
Thank
there?
You, Sal.
Don't hear anything.
Yes, and yes. So you're starting to make those inroads with those senators and aides, and it's all about that first step in building
relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much, all three of you, for sharing your victories this month. And with that, I'm going to turn the microphone back over to Dan.
All right. Thank you, Laurie, and thanks to all of you. I'd love for people to take a look at your action sheets now. If you don't have it, you can get it online, as I described. And I wonder if anyone is willing to look at the action sheet and remind us, if you've already taken a look, of what the action is. Just give us a general recap of what we're asking folks to do for the August action. If you just press 1 on your keypad, if you remember, if you're a little bit familiar with what the action is for August. Okay, great. I see a trustee volunteer. Thank you so much, Gia. Go ahead and just a few other people volunteering too. Thanks for raising hands. I appreciate it. Gia, will you tell us what this action is about?
Hi, Dan. Yes, this month's action is the August monthly action involves calls to Congress in support of the Iran nuclear deal, calling at least 3 of your U.S. legislators in support of the Iran agreement, and asking 3 of your friends to also make those three calls in support of the Iran nuclear deal. That is the action for this month.
Perfect. Perfect. And just a additional thought that if you're asking your friends to make those calls, it can be really handy if you ask them to go ahead and give you a call or shoot you a text as soon as they've done that, just so that you know that they do it. Partly it's so that you'll actually know, and partly, as probably most of you know, it'll likely help them to follow through. You know, if Sam tells me, our grassroots coach, Sam Daly Harris, if he says, will you go ahead, are you going to make that follow-up call to the editor of the Baltimore Sun this week? And ask him about that editorial, and I say, yeah, I'll be glad to do that. And then he says, and would you mind shooting me an email, let me know how it goes? You know, once you make that phone call, just drop me a line. And I say, I'd be glad to do that, you know, because I know that that supports me in getting it done and also getting it done thoughtfully. So just with that, I want to encourage you, when you reach out to other folks, to go ahead, make your phone calls, and then reach out to some friends and ask them to make their phone calls. And ask them, my suggestion is ask them if they would drop you a line just when their phone call is done so that you can kind of have a little bit of a track of how many people are going ahead and doing this on your behalf and on the behalf of the deal. Thanks, Gia. What I'd love to do now is actually role play that conversation. So the conversation that you're going to, not with your member of Congress or their staff, because I think that is extremely straightforward, right? It's as Warda described, it can be even more simple as, hi, I'm a constituent, and I'm very much in support of this nuclear agreement with Iran. I'm in support of the agreement, and I want the senator or the congressperson to know that this is my feeling, and I would like them to support the deal. So that is so straightforward. I'm not going to bother role-playing it because I think everybody can manage that in a few minutes. And you can do it right now, today, and leave a message, and that would count for plenty. You could also do it later during the week if you like. The congressional switchboard number is on that action sheet, so that's available. And if you don't have it in front of you, you can Google the congressional switchboard. What I would like to role-play now is actually the phone call to one of your friends to make that request. So you're going to call somebody and say, hey, I just got off, you know, I'm part of this action team, and or I'm working with the Peace Alliance, or you can just say, I'm really in favor of this Iran deal, and I'm trying to get some other folks to call members of Congress, like I just did, to let them know that you're in favor too. Would you be willing to make that phone call and see how that goes? So please raise your hand if you might be willing to practice that phone call with one of your friends. Press 1 on your keypad if you're willing to make a call to one of your friends, and we'll do a little pretend run-through right now to see how that goes. I see some hands going up. Thank you. Appreciate, again, that folks are ready and willing to do this along with us. I'm going to go ahead and call on Kim in Seattle. Hi, Kim.
Hey, how's it going?
Can you hear me? Hey, good. How are you?
Good, thanks.
So do you have a particular friend in mind that you'd like to call to ask?
I think so. We need to call people in our local area or anywhere across the country.
It could be anywhere across the country. Absolutely.
Okay.
Anybody
All right. Yeah, then I have
mind
a friend
so I can pretend to be them?
Oh, yeah. How about Todd?
Todd? Okay. Tell me a little bit about Todd. What can you tell me just to give me some inspiration for who I am?
I used to work with him at Outdoor Research. He lives, I think, in Colorado now, and we don't talk very often, but we're Facebook friends, so we've talked about through social media, and I know he loves to travel.
Hmm. Okay. Great. So we can start, if you would, by saying ring, ring, and I'll be taught.
All right, ring, ring.
Hello, this is Todd.
Hey, Todd, how's it going? It's Kim in Seattle.
Kim Schwarzkopf?
Yes, how's it going? It's been so long.
Good, really good. How are you?
Oh, I'm good, thanks. Just getting my day started, and I was thinking about that, the post that I made the other day, and you made some comments, and wondering if you have a little time to talk about it.
Oh, yeah, that post about Iran and the peace deal, I mean, the nuclear agreement thing?
Yes, yeah, exactly. Thanks so much for commenting on it. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, it's always nice to have a real conversation on the phone too. So, and we could catch up a little bit too after.
Sure. Yeah, I got a few minutes. This is a good time.
Okay, great. Well, so I think, you know, I've been involved with the Peace Alliance for the past year and a half, and we've been learning about different ways to build peace. Mostly I've been focusing on, you know, our community, you know, how important that is to me. But this is an issue that I think really needs everyone's attention. And I was wondering if you were in support of it, you could call your members of Congress. And just let them know. wondering, if are there any questions, like, after reading that post that that we could talk about right now? Because if I don't know the answer, I'll go find out through the Peace Alliance and my friends.
Wow. That's cool.
Awkward. This is
awesome.
Totally awkward.
No, I appreciate it. No, I know it's weird because, you know, people don't, you know, how many people do this, you know, these days, you know, actually call each other and try to get some make some political change. But it's so cool of you to call, because I do think it's, you know, I feel this way, but yeah, you think it'll make a difference, me calling Congress and actually telling them what I think about this.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they say that every call represents about 1,000 other people that think that same way. So your one call is really powerful, and they do take note of it.
Yeah. You know, I think I would like to do that. Now that you mention it, it's sort of a whole different realm, you know, taking it out of the casual conversation and putting it into action. So, yeah, I'd be glad to do that. That's a good idea.
Awesome. Oh, thank you so much. I mean, and we could keep on talking about it. I love that the idea of the flow chart, or, you know, understanding the flow chart of the Middle East. And I've been looking at that and trying to understand it, wrap my head around it. And I know it's so complicated, but the important thing right now is just to show our members of Congress that we do support this agreement. And then, you know, we just can keep on thinking about it and working towards like nonviolent approach to the world, to everything we do.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I dig it.
Yeah.
Totally. I love
yes.
it.
Yes, cool. And then
great.
We'll
cool.
Say each other in person and talk about all the travel.
Yeah. Sounds good. Sounds really good. All right, cool. I'll go ahead and do that. Thanks for calling, and we can, you know, talk about other stuff now too. All right, thanks. Great stuff, Kim.
Thanks. Talking to you.
Yay! Thank you. Thank you. Question for you. That's my classic post role play question. Debrief. What do you think? What did you do there that you liked? What would you hold on to for next time? For when it's the real time. Any pieces of it that you remember?
Well, it's nice to, let's see here, to ask them if they have time to talk early. I guess that's the first thing.
Yes,
you know, just to
absolutely. That's classic.
You know, the real, yeah. I think I love when people do that with me, too, because it's tough if you're receiving a call and you're in the middle of something, but you really don't have the time to tell them. So I'd keep that. And what else? I don't even know. It's a kind of a blur right now.
Sure. I can refresh your memory a little bit. You offered to have further conversation about it, you know, to if you had any questions or concerns that, you know, you could sort of get into it and maybe find some other resources online to talk about it. That was very wide open. And the connection was clearly important. It wasn't just sort of a call it wasn't just anything. But what was there was the warmth of your actual relationship. I could tell that, you know. So that was really wonderful. Of course, relationship matters. And you reminded him that our voices do matter. Anything that you would do differently? So, yeah, just to linger on that a moment more, that our voices do matter is such a powerful thing that people can learn and can make real. You know, the more we do it, the more it's true. When we actually develop these relationships, you know, like Mitzi and her folks have done with Congressman Foster in Aurora, or other folks around the country are doing with your Congress members, it matters, and it makes your voice matter. So great that you reminded him of that. Anything that you would do differently, or that you didn't do, that you would do anything that occurs to you?
I think I would have switched around the order. I started off by saying, well, you know, I've been working with the Peace Alliance over the past couple of years. Well, I don't know if that's really important for me to say right up in, you know, I could say it towards the end if we had a little more time, because otherwise I feel like it'll, that's not really the point of the conversation. And I don't even know if he does really know. I think he does, but I'm not positive. So I'd rather just go right into the heart of it and like, hey, you know, we talked about this on Facebook. I wanted to pick up the phone and talk to you about it in person. And it is really important to me. It's super easy. I just did it in 5 minutes. I know it's something that that you know, could do in 5 minutes too. And would you please just do that? And then yeah. I think if he was more interested in like, what, you're calling members of Congress? And where is this coming from? Then I could say, well, I've been working with the Peace Alliance and, you know, go into that, you know, what we do every month. But
yes.
But I think I
totally
towards the
agree.
End. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I totally agree. I think that's brilliant. That's totally brilliant. That it's really, I mean, it's a little bit about us, but mostly it's not. Mostly it's about you, your feelings and this situation. And yeah, I think what you said is perfect. Mm-hmm. That it's connected. One other thing I might add is a request for a follow-up to say, you know, would you be willing to check in with me afterwards? Say, you know, let me know how it went, kind of thing.
Yes.
Or just to, you know, I'm asking a few people, and I'd love to know, you know, how it goes afterwards, or just, you know, send me a text and give me a little bit of a report if you're willing, something like that.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome, awesome. You're very welcome. Thank you, too. Great job. Good. So hopefully folks could sort of hear themselves. Talk to you later, Lori. Hopefully you could hear yourselves in that role play and imagine having that conversation. So I really encourage folks to go ahead and call the switchboard today. I'll repeat that number. I have a different number. I have the local switchboard number in D.C., it's 202-224-3121. And again, that number is on your action sheet. But in case you don't have it handy, it's 202-224-3121. Even today on Saturday, you can call and ask for your senators by name and then ask for your House member by name and just leave them a message. There'll be somebody there or there'll be a machine, most likely. And you could plan to do it again during the week if you want to talk with somebody in person. But just a powerful step that we can take to make our voices heard and hopefully promote this very powerful diplomatic achievement. And if you have a buddy system in place to help you follow through, that can be really helpful. Say, hey, want to check in after we do this and sort of support each other in doing it. And if you're on an action team, then hopefully you've got an automatic buddy system right there. You can, I'm sure your team leader would be happy to know that it got done. Or if you are a team leader, please share this with all your team members and give them support to help them follow through. You can refer them to the recording for this call if you think that they'd like to, if they're not on the call now. We're just, as you can tell, sort of aiming for a wave of action. And we'd love for you to be resources to each other and call on us as resources for all of you. The very last thing I want to mention before I go to a closing quote and then open the phone lines for farewells is if you're not on an action team and you're interested to join an action team or to start one or learn more, you're welcome to stay on this line when the call's over, and Lori and I will be glad to chat with you. Or you can sign up on our website or drop me a line, dan@peacealliance.org. Great. So, closing quote I have is from Marshall Saunders. And Marshall Saunders was the founder of Citizens Climate Lobby. And Citizens Climate Lobby is one of our siblings, I'd say, in this citizen activism, citizen action movement of deep advocacy. And he said this, "I used to think that the important people were taking care of the important problems. I don't think that anymore. And so it's up to us little people to preserve this climate and this civilization and this world." Say that one more time. "I used to think that the important people or taking care of the important problems. I don't think that anymore. And so it's up to us, little people, to preserve this climate and this civilization and this world. So now if I can manage to select all of you, where is that participant select? I have to Can I see that? Sorry, I'm doing too many things. I'll do it one by one.
I think that the important people were taking care of the important problems. I don't think that anymore. Except for little people. Except us, the little people.
Mm-hmm. Thanks and for your patience. It'll take me about 5 more seconds to highlight all of you and then unmute all of your mics so you can say goodbye to each other. 4, 3, 2, and you are unmuted. Thank you so much, and have a beautiful weekend.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Everyone.
Bye.
Rock on.
Light and peace.
Awesome.
Namaste.
Bye, everyone. From San Diego.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, Cindy.
I used to.